I'd like to read, first of all, in the book of Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible, in chapter 3, and in my Bible it's on page 72. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And Jehovah said, I have seen assuredly the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and their cry have I heard on account of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, into a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Then in chapter 12 of the same book, on page 84, we read from verse 3, speak to all the assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, let them take themselves each a ram, for a father's house, a lamb for a house, and if the household is too small for a lamb, let him and his neighbour share it next to him. Take it according to the number of the souls, which each according to the measure of his eating, shall he count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a yearling male, and you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And the whole assembly of Israel shall kill it between the two evenings, and they shall take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. In verse 12, and I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and in that night and smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. And the blood shall be for you as a sign on the houses in which ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be among you for destruction when I smite the land of Egypt. In the New Testament, in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4, that's on page 1406. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, come of woman, come under law, that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive sonship. The epistle to the Colossians, that's a little further on page 1422. So we read from verse 12 of the first chapter of the epistle to the Colossians, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us fit for sharing the portion of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation, because by him were created all things, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And if you'll bear with me, one further reference in the, just over the page, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, which is on page 1427. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in the middle of verse 9. And how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. I read this section in Exodus to to impress on each one of us that God takes account of our condition. This event that we read of here was over 3,000 years ago. But God took account of the condition of certain ones. And he says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. If we transpose that to the present day, God has sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come down to bring a wonderful deliverance for you and for me in going to Calvary's cross. Where we read in chapter 12 of Exodus, perhaps there's a little illustration of what was necessary then, and I would seek to transpose it to today so that, to make it more understandable. But the great feature of it is that there had to be a lamb slain, and the blood of that animal was put on the house, the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which those persons lived. And the scripture says quite clearly, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's just an illustration of what God has done through his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross to take upon himself what was due to you and me. He suffered and he shed his precious blood. And that blood is available to cover the sins of everyone who would come to him in repentance. The gospel in itself is quite simple, really. And I wouldn't wish to make it complicated at all. Scripture speaks of it simply as repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the one against whom I have sinned. Scripture says, indeed, quite clearly, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me and everyone else in this room. That's what the Bible tells us. You'll find it in Romans chapter 3. It's quite clear. And we all need salvation. God took account of it. He took account of it all those many years ago in relation to his people in Egypt, who had gone down there under direction and had been there for 400 years. And yet God took account of their condition. And where we read in Galatians, God took account of your condition and mine in sending his beloved Son. It says that when the fullness of time had come, lovely expression, the absolute moment when it was necessary for God to intervene in this world to send his own beloved Son. Scripture, you know, says somewhere, God's timing is perfect. I'm always tested by that, but it is perfect. And it was then, in the fullness of time, exactly at the right moment, God came in sending his beloved Son. And he came here, friend, in love for you. He came in here as a babe at Bethlehem's manger. We know the story. He went out by way of a cross at Calvary. That was what was the view of man for my Saviour. One who was here perfect before God. You see, the Lord Jesus came here in wonderful conditions. Emmanuel, God with us. He was here unlike you and me. He was here without sin. Perfect in every way. He delighted in God's will. He came here specifically to do it, so that the way of salvation could be offered to you and me. Isn't that wonderful? That God took account of your need and my need, and he's met it fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can know what it is to be delivered. Delivered from sin. Most of us have to be delivered from self as well, because we can get very occupied with ourselves and not with the one who would like seek to occupy us. Friend, I would just appeal to you that God has moved in such a wonderful way that he's come in just at the right time. It says there in Galatians, we'll just turn to it. God sent forth his Son, come a woman, come under laws, he might redeem those under law. It says elsewhere in Scripture, the redemption of the soul is costly. It must be given up forever. The hymn we read, we sang, speaks of my soul. Horatio Spafford obviously had an understanding that his soul was all right. It is well with my soul. I suppose it's a good question to ask each one of us tonight. Is it well with your soul? Before God? He's got this most wonderful way of salvation for you, because of Jesus has borne the judgment of God in relation to sin. It's been settled once and for all in the according to God's will. And God can come out in blessing towards you. It requires repentance, as I said. Acknowledgement that God is right and that I'm wrong, that I've been wrong, that I need a saviour. How wonderful it is that God took account of what your need was before possibly you even thought about it yourself. How wonderful that God has provided a way of salvation. And he appeals to you, to whosoever will. Now, the gospel goes out to everyone. There's no limit in its presentation. It can go out to everybody. But it's the responsibility of you as a hearer to accept God's word, to accept the saviour of God's providing. Because deliverance is not just one-sided. It's got something else in mind, something else in view. That God should be served rightly and properly. When we read in Thessalonians, it said they turned from God to God, from idols, to serve a living and true God. And that's something else that comes to my mind as I say those words. The Lord Jesus Christ was always God, but he was here as a man, and he suffered as a man. He went to Calvary's cross as a man. He suffered in like manner to you and me in that way, sin apart. He was holy, undefiled, separated from sinners. What a wonderful saviour. But he went that way, friend, that you might know what it is to have peace with God. There was a way of salvation open to you. And that you might have a sense of liberty in your soul. And that you might be able to be available, as it says, as we were saying in Thessalonians, to serve a living and true God. That's the other side of deliverance, is to serve a living and true God. Wonderful thing to know your sins forgiven. I never underestimate that. But there's more to the story in that sense, that you have a wonderful opportunity to serve a living and true God and to await his Son. Yes, Jesus is coming back. After he was crucified at Calvary's cross, he was put in a grave. A normal crucified person would have been put in the grave at the bottom of the cross. But my Saviour was put in a tomb. He was, Scripture says, he was with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea was a man who was right for the moment. He was bold and went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus and took it down from the cross. No easy matter. He took it down. And he laid it in his own tomb. And he rose the third day. My Saviour did. Rose the third day and he was seen to many. Scripture tells us, you read 1 Corinthians, you'll find a whole list of persons that he appeared to. And after a period of time, he ascended on high. And he's there, living Saviour. Wonderful. These are glad tidings. The greatness of it is that it's a living. It's about a living person, about a living Saviour. One who has been here, knows all about your need, has met it at Calvary's cross. He's given his life, gave his life a ransom for all. To serve a living and true God and to await his Son from the heavens. As I said, Jesus is coming again. What a wonderful prospect that is for the believer. Not only to know your sins forgiven, to have peace with God and an assurance that Jesus is coming again. He's going to take you to himself. So the way of deliverance is acknowledging what God has done through Jesus. Recognising that precious blood has been shed, the blood that was shed at Calvary. If you read it in John's Gospel, you'll find it there. There's a soldier pierced the side of my Saviour, and out came blood and water. And that precious blood is available tonight. You say, well, you know, it's not here now, is it? No, I say, no, in essence, it is available to you tonight. That you can be clear of all your sins. They can be washed away in his precious blood. And Scripture tells me quite clearly, if you read in Jeremiah, God says, I will never remember them forever. That's a God with whom we have to do. A God who forgives sins, casts them behind his back, and they're never raised again. You might deal with people sometime who will bring up your past. Humbling sometimes indeed. But they remember things, but God doesn't. He puts them away forever. Friend, I commend the Saviour to you tonight. The one who's died for you. The one who lives for you. If you accept him as your own personal Saviour. He's a wonderful Saviour. He's a Saviour to me. Saviour to many in this room tonight, I'm assured. And he's got your heart in mind too, as he wants to be, to know, wants you to know him as your own personal Saviour. That you might come in repentance to him and put your faith and trust in his finished work and say, he died for me. Gospel is very individual. Speak to persons here in the room, but God speaks to you and to me as individuals. And it's as individuals we have to accept and acknowledge the need of a Saviour. I commend it to you, my friend. Don't put it off. Man here who said, as far as this world was concerned, he'd lost everything except his wife. He did actually have 3 more children afterwards. But that's not part of the story of him. But he had that assurance. O Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O voice of Archangel, O trumpet of God, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. I trust, dear friend, as I appeal to you, that you might have an assurance in your heart and that you might be well with your soul as it was with the writer of that hymn. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.